Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is this okay with you, Speaks?
Very much so. Weezer from the Blue Album? I'm in.
We let our guests choose their walk-up music.
Really? Sahadev chose this? That's outstanding.
We're not putting music in Sahadev's mouth, right? This is your music, right? Your choice, right, Sahadev?
Yeah. This is my choice. One of my favorite albums growing up. So I'm sticking with it in my late 30s still.
Speaks loves you. Speaks head was bopping.
I didn't.
As it came on,
I didn't know I loved Sahadev as much as I do. I had no idea.
He's Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic, a terrific online site. He covers the Cubs, does a terrific job. And so let's get to it, Sahadev. What did you make? What's the message from the Chili Davis firing? When it happened, or was it just 9 days late they made this decision when Theo was meeting with the press in the postmortem and they just couldn't announce it right then? What's the message and what happens now?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm not sure if the decision was made when he met with us, whatever that was, 10 days ago, but it was definitely part of a bigger plan. This can't be the only step taken to fix this offense. The issues go much deeper. They're going to spin it. I'm not sure if spin is the right word, but they're going to present this is not Chili Davis's fault. He just wasn't mixing right with this group, which tells me that this, you know, part of this was the group was, this was a grad program for the group, right? Well, these kids weren't ready for that program. Apparently, they weren't at that level just yet. They're not ready to take that next step. They still have some other steps to take in their development. I think a lot of this has to go on the players. I think that's what this offseason is going to be about, weeding out the players that just aren't going to, that they are who they are, and figuring out who still has an opportunity to grow, who can be the next Javi Baez, who can be the guy that, you know, reaches his potential, maximizes his potential.
Sahadev, do you think it does a disservice to these young players to have had, I believe it's 9 hitting coaches and or assistant hitting coaches in Theo's run, and now it'll be 3 hitting coaches in 3 years for some of these young guys who have to continue to develop on the big league level? Does it do them a disservice overall?
You know, yeah, possibly. So many different messages being presented can be difficult for the kids. I also think, you know, this is something that I probably would have disagreed with, but now I'm starting to kind of understand maybe better, or at least having watched it unfold. This is a deep team, right? This is a team. It has to be deep. Go look at the teams in the playoffs right now. They're all deep. They all present different lineups with regards to who's on the mound. That's how baseball is played right now. The Cubs need to be deep. But should you be a deep team of 23 to 25 year olds? Should Ian Happ be splitting time with Albert Almora? Or should there be veterans that are taking, you know, veterans that are used to, that are past this point in their development, that are used to being part-time players? Should those be the guys that eat up, 20, 30 starts a season that are really talented, but just, you know, aren't everyday players? There's so much talent on this team. I'm wondering if having so many young, talented players, their development has been stunted by this win now necessity. Remember when Joe said it when they re-signed Dexter Fowler? He said it. That worked out perfectly, right? That was a veteran starting in center field. But because of the glut in the outfield, the perceived glut at the time, we didn't know Kyle Schwarber was going to tear up his knee. But because of the perceived glut, we thought, oh, who's going to struggle because of this? Which kid isn't going to get the development that they need? And that's happened every year since, in a sense. So I don't know how big of a factor that plays as well. It's the coaches, it's the inability to play every day. There's a lot of things stunting these guys' development, and perhaps they're just not good enough too. Maybe we've misevaluated them, or the front office has misevaluated some of them, and that's part of what I'm saying. They need to figure out who they misevaluated and who they need to stick with.
Talking with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic, he covers the Cubs, does a terrific job. We're talking baseball on The Score. Theo got to that point in a hurry. It wasn't loud, but it resonated with me that we have to look at production, not talent, not projection, but production, which means he's making a decision on who's hit their ceiling. So who do you believe has hit their ceiling? Because I think one or two young core players, I think they trade them because he's always been about some kind of foreshadowing. And that was it for me. I could have misread it. I've been wrong before. But that's the way it looked like to me, which tells me they've got one or two guys they think have hit their ceiling for what they want to do. Do you agree with that? And if so, who?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Now, remember, I came away, I think many of us came away from last year's postmortem with Theo, kind of thinking the same, someone's going to be traded. But it wasn't said in the same way. It wasn't said in a way that there was any unhappiness with the players that they had. It was more said in the way with that may be the route that we have to take to fix the pitching problems that they perceived were the issue going into last offseason. This year was said very differently. It was said in a way that we need to figure out who are the guys that are good enough. And right now there's a list of them that aren't good enough. I mean, first of all, we know Addison Russell isn't coming back. That's one guy who obviously never lived up to his potential on the field and has a major issue off the field with the domestic violence suspension. And, you know, I expect him to be gone in some form. I don't know what exactly they'll do, but I'd be shocked if he's back. That's one clear guy that's not going to be back with this team, in my opinion. So that leaves three other guys, because you're not messing with Rizzo, you're not messing with Bryant. I think you can say Wilson Contreras struggled, of course, obviously. I wouldn't put him in that list of miscalculated his potential. Let's see what he can do with the different philosophy as far as the hitting coach goes and all those different things. I think his potential is vast. I don't think they missed on him. It comes down to Schwarber, Happ, and Almora in my mind. Honestly, I don't think they missed on Almora. I think maybe some fans got carried away in that first half. Fans and media, we got carried away in certain ways because that was total Babbitt-fueled luck. A lot of luck involved in him having that .330 batting average. He doesn't take walks. He doesn't hit for power. He doesn't really have the best approach, but he's a great defender. So you know what you have there. Is that something you want to move, or do you want to use him as a fourth outfielder? And then it comes down to Happ and Schwarber. Schwarber improved from 17. Happ regressed significantly. A lot of his power was sapped, which was, you know, across the board for the team. I think those are the three guys that I focus on. If I had to guess, I'd say Schwarber may be gone. When you talk about what this front office, who they've loved over the years, who they may have misevaluated. Did they miss on Schwarber? I mean, through 3 years now, however many seasons he's been in the big leagues, outside of, you know, one big year where he completely missed the season, but he hasn't looked like the guy that all of us were being told he would be, right? This is a guy who was supposed to be special on offense. He's very good. He's above average on offense. But unless, you know, what we were told was MVP caliber offense was potential, and we're not seeing that. I don't know if he can ever get to that point, but perhaps it's best that's figured out in the American League.
Yeah, I don't think they thought they'd be getting this, which is a very good version of like Jack Cust. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, this is a lefty bopper, but not the kind of hitter.
Let me see who his similarity score.
They thought he was potentially going to be a really, really good hitter. And that has not been the case. It's interesting how you talk about, you know, the pieces on all these different teams that are in the playoffs. And if there's anything to learn, yeah, look how deep and loaded all of these rosters are with matchup capabilities from both sides of the plate. And a lot of them are very established veterans who are being asked to do less, like Ian Kinsler or Travis Shaw or Jonathan Scope or like any of these guys. Like, all right, yeah, no, you're really good, but we're still Mike Moustakas only going to ask you to hit against certain kinds of pitchers. And that's just the way you do it. Brock Holt, great. You hit for the cycle, sit down. It's Kinsler's turn, you know? So go out and get those veterans instead of hoping that Ian Happ develops into that lefty who can pound right-handed power pitchers. You know, go out and find the veteran who fits that better.
Exactly. And you know, I'm not saying I know exactly who they should go get, who's the guy to add to this team. when I hear something, like I thought of this all of a sudden last night. I don't know why, but I kept hearing the word edge and you know, sense of urgency and bringing in a new element into this clubhouse, whether it was them losing brings that new element into the clubhouse or they have to bring it from the outside. And I wondered, how much would it cost to bring in Andrew McCutchen? Not as the main piece, not the guy to completely change the offense, but you're talking about hunger, you're talking about edge, you're talking about a guy that is desperate for a ring. I mean, that's going to be a guy that's going to show up every day. Does he need to play every day? Probably not. I don't know what it would cost. I don't know if it makes a ton of sense for this team exactly, but if you're not going to get Bryce Harper, if you can get Manny Machado and your second piece is Andrew McCutchen to the offense and you make some trades, I would say that's a successful offseason. Obviously, you get one of Harper and Machado. You probably could just end it right there and say it's a successful offseason. But I'm saying that's a guy that you don't have to play every day in my mind. I you know, 110 games in a season, put him in the right matchups, and this is a guy that's going to add that element to your clubhouse that you desperately need. That's just one name that popped into my mind when you keep talking about edge and you keep talking about we need a veteran that can you know, take up some of the time, you know, give these kids a break every now and then, but not be the guy that's there all the time. That's one name that popped into my mind.
Really interesting work on The Athletic yesterday from both Eno Saris and Ken Rosenthal on the Baltimore Orioles, who have long been, in my mind, the sucker at the table in some of these trades going
it
back.
It doesn't take a half an hour.
No, right.
But like, to spot the sucker at
no,
the table.
No, I mean, you look at the Jake Arrieta deal, and there were
and
lots.
Pedro Strop,
and lots of others, because they have not successfully used analytics to get the most out of their players. And the stuff yesterday about both the pitchers like Zach Britton and these other guys saying, oh, yeah, no, there's information out here I had no idea.
Priceless quote
there.
From when he went to the Yankees.
Unbelievable.
And they all had to be cookie cutters.
Right, exactly. All do it the same way. The Orioles. So when it comes to pitching, but then the stuff from Eno about how Machado's been better at shortstop defensively in L.A. because of seemingly positioning and better wisdom than he was given access to in Baltimore. Can Machado be a shortstop? If the Cubs were to sign him, could they really play him at shortstop? And is he better than we think?
It's very legitimate that's a possibility. I mean, he's always been considered. I mean, we've seen him at third base, and he's brilliant at third base. First of all, he just moved back to shortstop, so it was going to be a process anyways, right? We didn't really give him enough time to really see before we just judge, this guy can't play short, he's not very good, you know, he's a great third baseman, just put him back there. I mean, I was guilty of that too, making snap judgments. So the combination of time and better coaching, better positioning, sure, and it's not like the Cubs have bad coaching or positioning when it comes to infield defense. We all know that they've done a great job with that. They've always had great talent there, and they've done a good job of maximizing that defensive talent. I mean, they even make Ben Zobrist look like an above average second baseman at times, in my opinion.
I'm supposed to take those shots, not you.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing: we can appreciate Ben Zobrist more because we watched a month and a half of
Daniel Murphy
there,
right?
And that was rough. I don't want to rip the guy, but that was really bad defense at second base. And it helped me appreciate, whoa, Ben Zobrist isn't a bad defender. He's a smart defender. He's got a great first step. He knows where to position himself, and the Cubs know where to position him too, and they really maximize that talent. Certainly, I think they could maximize Manny Machado's talent on defense. And you think about that infield defense all of a sudden then, and you're talking about four all-stars in the infield with a Wilson Contreras as the catcher, a fifth all-star, especially if he can bounce back. I mean, you have Bryant, Machado, Baez, and Rizzo. The more I think about it, the more I start to lean that you go Machado over Harper. Of course, it takes more than just what you want. It's what the player wants and where they decide and the money that the Cubs are willing to spend. All that stuff is involved, of course. But if you have your choice of those two, I'm starting to lean Machado more than Harper. And it just, I mean, infield defense, all those little things add up, and all of a sudden now you're talking about a really special offensive core on that infield.
And if you want to add to it, I would suggest they go after Brandon Woodruff, because they know he can pitch out of the bullpen, and he can hit in October, which is something they need. Sahadev, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Terrific work.
Of
thanks
course.
For sharing it with us.
So thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.